a lot of times you'll have impact on appetite as well, like reduced appetite. People then don't fuel properly. When you also have that fight or flight, your body is using a little more energy, especially carbohydrate energy, than it would you normally. So all of these things are kind of like really ramping up and causing havoc.
And then if I don't eat enough of my breakfast, then I won't have enough energy. So then I won't perform well. And then so then I'm more stressed and more anxious because I want to perform well. And
yes, spinning in psychological and physiological circles there before you even get going. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Knowledge Podcast by Wahoo. I am Neil Henderson.
And I'm Matt Kasson. Today we're going to be discussing pre-race anxiety, especially defining what it is, what causes it, the different levels or severities, and then the tips and tricks to help deal with those systems so they don't negatively impact your performance and maybe even turn it around and make it help your performance.
Bingo, turn that frown around, Mac. Well, let's start off with a little bit of a definition. First off, anxiety we can just define as a feeling of fear, dread, or uneasiness. In the context of pre-race anxiety, that means feeling fear, dread, or uneasiness before your event or race even starts. Really, anxiety is a psychological phenomenon that elicits a physiologic response. Anxiety activates the sympathetic branch of your autonomic nervous system, causing a stress response, aka your fight or flight response.
And so you're at the start line, you're getting ready to go, your body thinks something crazy is about to happen. So it goes back to the good old caveman days, gives you a little bit of adrenaline, a little jolt, and is left for you to deal with that as you will. And that's where the psychological component of this, it's the main driver. You get this nice little boost that you can fight with or take flight with, but how you manifest that internally is the biggest thing. And that's something that a lot of people just don't address, and it's problematic. And so when we talk about pre-race anxiety, how do you know if you have that? What's going on there? You should, in theory, in my opinion, you should have some level of excitation on the start line. Mm-hmm. If you're not having some sort of internal reaction to being there, you should maybe find a different event or discipline to...
Yeah. If you don't have some level of excitement, if you're not elevated and ready, engaged in some way, then it's a problem. But more often, we have folks that become over amplified, that excitement turns excessive and they actually are unable to then perform because of all these things going on. So just standing there, folks that have excess are going to have a significantly increased heart rate and respiration rate, going to have an inability to focus, might have racing thoughts going through
like
their mind.
Thoughts about racing?
Yes. And just sometimes like really crazy thoughts in a way, not crazy, but just uncontrolled, unmanaged.
Down the rabbit hole of this will happen and then of this and then what if this and then that and then here and then what about this happening?
Exactly. A lot of that going on. You might have that kind of feeling like that queasiness or butterflies in your stomach. Some folks then, if that's been sustained for a while, all of a sudden they get to the opposite of like absolutely crashing. They have this like draining, exhausted feel right about the time the race is, the gun's about to go off. That's bad timing.
It's not ideal to feel exhausted and drained before you even start.
Yep. Subprime. A lot of times you'll have impact on appetite as well, like reduced appetite. People then don't fuel properly. When you also have that fight or flight, your body is using a little more energy, especially carbohydrate energy, than it would you normally. So all of these things are kind of like really ramping up and causing havoc.
And then if I don't eat enough of my breakfast, then I won't have enough energy. So then I won't perform well. And then so then I'm more stressed and more anxious because I want to perform well. And
yes, spinning in psychological and physiological circles there before you even get going. That's a problem. So what are some of the things that kind of cause this anxiety, this level of like, oh my gosh, and everything kind of falling apart?
I think the main one for most people is generally just a fear of failure or falling short of their expectations. So you might go to an event and have, say like, oh, I need to place fifth or I need to finish in an hour 15 or something like that. So you have that goal in mind and now all of a sudden you're afraid you're not going to hit it because you might have a lack of confidence that, oh, I had this sickness in training for this, or I didn't nail this workout, or my equipment isn't great. You get fear of the unknown, or like, I don't have any control. What if this happens? What if that happens? Those sorts of thoughts. And then for some people, it's just there's a bit of trepidation that they know it's going to hurt. And there's a little bit of fear of like, wow, this is, I'm really about to put myself in the hurt locker. That's a bit intimidating and scary.
You know what's interesting? That we don't really actually remember pain well, but we have a concern regarding the potential for feeling pain. We have a fear of that happening then. Those are some of the things that can cause this anxiety to basically become elevated, increased, and have a negative impact. So one thing we do want to make sure that we understand and talk about is that some level of pre-race anxiety is normal. And there are certain things that are positive about this. Some of it is excitement, those pre-race jitters, but when it becomes too much and you get into a basically like a full-blown panic attack mode, then it's going to definitely not be optimal for your performance.
Yeah. Essentially, this is all before this, we can generalize the term as it's a state of arousal. You're in a point of peaked arousal. Your body's ready for something to happen. And you can spin that in a positive way or you can spin it in a negative way.
Yep. And there's an interesting way that psychologists have looked at what it takes to perform at your best. And there's what is kind of been known as the inverted U arousal for optimal performance. And what this is, so if you think of a U and flip it upside down.
Me or you?
Anyone even. Me, you, or everyone. Flipping a U around, what you see is if you go across the bottom, what we would call the x-axis in a graph, as arousal increases to the right, you initially see an improvement in performance. So the y-axis, the vertical line, would be performance is going up. And then there's kind of this peak point where if you continue to have more arousal, then performance starts to decrease and it gets worse and worse and worse and crashes down. So there is some optimal point where you have the right amount of arousal that leads to the optimal performance, somewhere kind of in the middle-ish of that.
So instead of saying bell curve, they said inverted U, which I get because bell curve is supposed to be a distribution thing. But
yeah. It has less tails.
Yeah. So there's
an inverted U.
A little bit's good, a bit more is great, a certain amount is perfect, and then any bit above that
gets less and less performance. One thing that I always like to say on the inverted U is each person has a different point of arousal needed to get to their optimal. So two different people have very differing levels, even if they're doing the same event. The other part is any given individual may have variations in, again, where on that arousal side of things they need to be for a given type of event. So I know if I'm doing like a kilo on the track versus starting a 200 kilometer gravel race, I need to be in a different state of arousal to have my best performance in either one of those. If I'm as jacked up as I am for a kilo at the start of 200K, I'm probably going to take it out hot and definitely pay the price. If I go into a kilo with that kind of like just I'm rolling out like a 200K, you know, 6-8 hour event, well, my kilo is not going to get off to a great start and it's going to take much longer to complete that. And that's going to be a failure to complete the task at my optimal level of performance.
And this is an interesting thing. This is where it gets into people who either do or do not perform well on race day. When we talk about the arousal for optimal performance, it's not just about race day, it's about training as well. And I know for myself, when I would race, like something would just switch and I'd have an extra gear. And specifically for track, it's all timed stuff. So during track camps and stuff, we'd be doing timed 4Ks and I would usually not be very good. And then because I just couldn't get into it, that extra boost. And then on race day, it switches on and I get a few more percentage out of myself that I just can't do in training. And part of that is because some of the tips and stuff we talk about later on, I worked on a lot of those for a long time so that on race day, I never quite figured out how to do it for every training day. And I think some of that's just because you kind of need to save some of the special sauce for those special occasions. But there's a whole process of me getting myself psyched up and ready to execute on the day.
You know, there's a mix of different things, but managing anxiety is clearly a big part of that. So Let's talk about managing it.
Let's talk about management. Upper management or middle management?
We're just going to go with the umbrella management.
Okay, gotcha.
So we have some of this management that is occurring well in advance. We can say days, weeks, maybe even months before an event.
Right, and so that would be something like creating your game plan for the day. Any event, there's going to be random stuff that you can't control. You set that stuff aside for now. But knowing how you're getting to the event, what equipment you're going to need, what the course is. If you show up to a race like I did my first TT and didn't know the course, and then you miss a turn and add like 5 extra miles, you know, could have been easily avoided. You know, figure out your nutrition strategy, your pacing strategy. As it gets closer, look at what the weather is and see if that needs to impact things. There are a lot of aspects that can just be kind of stressful day-to-day stuff that you can nail well in advance.
Yeah. And one thing I would think about here is the records that you keep and what you do in your training and how you feel, what you've used, what works well, what doesn't. If you have some sort of a log of that information, you're going to be better off. You're always going to know a bit more. It can be, I know I need to use these kind of wheels, this kind of situation, or whatever. Just having that information in your training logs, whether it's old school analog written down in a training diary that you can go back through, or more realistically typed out with some of the workouts and training that you've done, and even prior events, figure out, oh, next time I should do this rather than that.
Yeah, so the whole creating your game plan is all about building confidence. And that's, again, like we said, that's one of the big things. People lack confidence going into a
big C. Takes you a long way.
Mm-hmm. And you can further that if you haven't done this a lot. Okay, maybe then what you want to do in like a month before your event is basically have a practice event where, obviously, if you're traveling for an event, you can't go to the exact course or anything, but have a day of training set up where you go through the routine that you're going to on event day. So if your event starts at 5 a.m., okay, well, do something like get a practice of doing that, go through the motions that you've set out. And that gives you an opportunity to see what worked and what didn't work. And then that gives you a whole month to make some more tweaks so that, again, when you show up on the day, you're that much more confident because you've been here before, you've done some stuff, you've done all the homework to do stuff, you're ready to go.
Exactly. And I would say that you can't underestimate the importance of that. A term I sometimes use is sequencing, and some of this is even just going through your tapering, repeating the same kind of thing, going into kind of a practice /test event so that you have the same process that you then execute when it is the most important thing, whether it's your big race that you have, it's an Olympic Games, it's a world championship, the same thing applies that we kind of go through that same process and kind of have an idea. It can't be exactly perfectly the same, but we can replicate a good bit of it in that way. Other big thing then is having process-oriented goals and making sure that you kind of go back through some of the episodes that we've talked about goals and mental training. If you go back, episodes 26, 29, and 33 all cover some of these topics that will be very important to help you be able to control what you can so that you're able to get the best out of yourself on the day.
Yeah, and so when we say process oriented, we mean don't think I need to get fifth or finish in this time. It's I need to go out, follow this pacing strategy, follow this nutrition strategy, react this way, do that. That way, if at the end of the event, maybe you smash your goals and you win the thing. But if you didn't, you can win an event and have failed your process goals.
For sure.
And those can be, again, people say, oh, you'd never learn anything from winning. That's because that's an outcome. You can still lose your process goals. And that's something that a lot of movies don't like to reference that because it's not as fun as outcome goals. But yeah, get those process-oriented goals. Make it so that if you execute as you've planned to your ability, that is a success.
As we get closer to things, if we think about then just the day of and even sometimes during your event, there's a few things that we can do to manage that anxiety. One of the things is to limit your caffeine intake in the hours leading into the event. And again, by limiting caffeine, it doesn't mean don't drink any caffeine. It's just like, okay, if you normally drink a cup of coffee, have like a cup of coffee. If you normally drink two, okay, great. Sometimes people get nervous and then start drinking more, taking in more, and just consider all those potential places where caffeine might come in. If you have sports drinks or a gel or any other foods and things like that that may have some caffeine, you could overamp yourself by taking in too much. Mm-hmm. Another really important thing is having a proper warm-up. So a warm-up isn't exclusively about the physical process of that, but it's also a mental state of getting you ready. It's kind of having that process and just getting in the, okay, this is what I need to do. I'm getting ready physically and mentally for that. Yeah. So warm-up episode number 21, again, is a great one to go back through and make sure that you have a good process to be ready, again, depending on the kind of event that you're doing. Another really helpful one is deep breathing, that belly breathing. This is going to help activate your parasympathetic nervous system and keep you calmer. There's also our breathing episode number 53 to go back and listen to.
We are just shouting out old episodes again and again.
I know. I mean, we've covered some of this stuff that's going to help you.
It's like it's all connected.
It's like synthesizing it together. It's going to help you. Nothing lives in isolation here. So another thing within that breathing, box breathing is another one that people will use. There's lots of different techniques. Again, go through that episode, make sure you listen to that. Make sure you have a way of being able to get yourself to reset. And breathing is a great, great reset.
I think another one at the start of an event, you can reframe it and say that level of arousal. You say, I'm not anxious, I'm excited. That level of arousal, some sort of pre-race anxiety, jitters, whatever you want, it's normal. And like I said before, if you don't have it, I maybe find something you'd be more excited to do. Again, it's a mental thing. Your body's giving you the same physiological response either way. It's how you mentally turn that into a positive or a negative. So go from not say I've got knots in my stomach, so I'm so anxious. It's I got knots in my stomach, I'm so excited.
Exactly. Just reframe it like that. And that kind of brings you, in a way, it's part of this positive self-talk or maybe even mantras that you may have where you have a few words that you can say. There's things that I've used in the past, just a couple words that kind of get me into that right place. And so can't tell you what's the best. You know, there is no perfect mantra. It's just whatever works for you. And it may depend on the situation, but having a few positive words that you can insert, say to yourself, I've heard of athletes who out loud say certain things. It may seem like swearing. If you just hear them, like as you're going along, like, what are they talking about? What are they doing? But it just can help them flip that script. They maybe get having a little bit of a rough patch, and just saying those things out loud, put them in the right place quickly.
And so with that, the other big one is stay in the moment. Focus on what you need to do right now to reach those process goals. Don't think about what happened 2 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago, and don't think about what might be happening in 10 minutes. Yep. Think about where you are right now. Focus on that.
Yep. Stick to your process. The other thing then is just being adaptable. I mean, having a plan is great, but being able to adapt and adjust based on the current situation, what is going on, is so much better than just sticking to the plan without adapting and adjusting to the situation. If the weather changes, if whatever, if you drop a bottle, what are you going to do? Are you just going to keep going forward? Or, you know, if aid station isn't for another 40 miles, well, on a bike, you might want to turn around and get that. 30-second cost to stop and grab it may save you like 30 minutes of struggle busing.
And that's why we mentioned when we talked about the game plan, it's don't make game plan A and then B and C and D and E and F. Make a game plan and then be adaptable and know that stuff's going to change, especially if you're doing any sort of mass start event. Like, there's no way you can predict 75% of what's going to dictate the outcome to that. All you can control is your preparation and how you execute on the day. So just accept that things are going to go crazy. You might flat, you might lose some whatever, you might get in a breakaway you didn't mean to be in. Yep. Not that I've ever done that before, but then you just have to adapt and roll with it.
Yeah. As we sometimes say, respond, don't just react. Response is actually, you're thinking it through. Reaction is just like, ah, I did this. Like, that happened, I did this. That's kind of like the innate. A response is this happened, I thought about it, and I made a decision. May not always be the best decision, but sometimes it's better than the immediate, I just did that.
And that's that can be a difficult skill to develop, especially when your heart rate is redlined. Yep. But
that's what experience will give you, Mac. So if these tactics that we've talked about for managing pre-race anxiety don't help you, it would be great for you to reach out, find a sports psychologist that you can work with through your fears and scenarios and help you develop a great plan for managing your anxiety.
Because really, it takes away a lot of the fun. And hopefully most of us are doing this because we really enjoy it. And if this anxiety is keeping you from enjoying it and you're putting in all this work to train and eat right and do all this stuff and then it's ruined on the day, that's a bummer. And shockingly, Neil and I are not trained psychologists, but there are well-trained sports psychologists. There's a lot more of them nowadays. It's much more recognized that it's something that should be done. 20 years ago, if there was a sports psychologist on like a baseball team, their door would be open all the time because no one was ever in there talking.
Yeah.
And now it's constant schedule wanting to work with that.
It's how you can be optimizing things. So you don't have to even wait for something to be quote unquote a problem or wrong. You can even find benefit even if things are going well. Keep that in mind.
That's a good pun, Neil.
Well, that is it for another episode. We hope you're able to take away some useful information about pre-race anxiety and how managing it will help you be a better endurance athlete. Thanks for listening to the Knowledge Podcast by Walker.